Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to Show Me the Science. Now, this one, I can't resist this one, to be honest, because it's all about AI. Now, AI keeps cropping up everywhere I look. And it's remarkable what's happening, I think. The rate of progress week on week in this is amazing. And when I'm at science conferences and I'm talking to fellow scientists, it's the burning topic. Because can we use artificial intelligence in our scientific studies? And I'm going to give you three or four examples. The science of AI breakthroughs, we'll call it, because they are coming so fast. And these are, some are a bit witty, some are very, we think are going to be very useful. And one example to kick off with is, which I wasn't actually going to include in my notes, but I came across this a few days ago. One of my fellow scientists, a guy called Chris Glass. Chris, how's it going? He's in America, Chris. But bumped into him at a conference and he says to me, have you heard of co-scientist? I said, no, what's co-scientist? He said, well, I'm doing a pilot for Google with this thing called co-scientist. Now, what it is you talk to this AI bot as a scientist. You have a conversation about the science. You ask the AI bot to do all your reading for you and spit out the latest discoveries in your area. You might ask the AI bot, is this a good experiment to do? Has it been done before? Am I missing controls? What about the statistics? It's like having a real live expert scientist in your room that you can have conversations with. You can then give all the data to the bot and it'll analyze it for you and say, this is a rubbish experiment or this is a great experiment. Now, humans can do this, of course, but interestingly, this may be a much more efficient and less judgmental way to do it. And this is going to be fantastic. So when I give out to my students, if we're not doing an experiment properly, you might get their backs up and they might resent that. If it's an AI bot doing it, they're more likely to listen, and I'll come on to that in a minute actually, and then misinformation and so on. So there's one example, Coast. It's not available yet, Chris told me. He's one of a number of scientists testing it. But can you imagine when that comes along? Incredible. Now, we know AI at the moment can write detailed reports. And in fact, when I'm on Zoom calls now, and the minutes are being kept by an AI bot, and then the minutes are produced and the person chairing the meeting checks them. It can create really powerful videos of things. It can do all kinds of things at the moment that are extremely useful. And of course, remember what I'm talking about here is how useful AI is going to be to us, and it's going to be increasingly useful. There's concerns, of course, that jobs will be lost because of this. You know, the secretary who took the minutes at the meeting won't be needed as much. But interestingly, it's not the case so far. And last year, it was the highest ever search on Google for will AI make me lose my job and employment? And the evidence is no. And all the evidence is suggesting it's helping workers and it's helping them do a faster, more efficient job. So instead of AI replacing a human being, the AI will be used by the human being to make them more effective. And obviously some jobs will go. But overall, there hasn't been a massive impact on unemployment and certain jobs and people being made unemployed, which is good, isn't it? That's a concern. Now, examples. Are you ready? First of all, a great one. The BBC has just launched a mystery writing course. Guess who the teacher is? Agatha Christie. They have created a bot based on Agatha Christie, and it's the first time ever that a dead person has been used for education. They've been used for entertainment. You'll see some of these deep fake things anyway. But now we have Agatha Christie teaching a course in mystery writing. They uploaded all her books, all her photos of her, interviews, huge amount of things. They got an actress to play her who looked a bit like her. And this Agatha Christie stand-in, as it were, deep fake, gave a course in detective writing. Now what this means is, I won't be giving a lecture on immunology anymore. Well, maybe I will, but the most famous immunologist in the world will be giving those lectures to the students. Einstein will do relativity. Picasso will teach you art. Can you imagine? So this is, of course, is the personalization, as they call it, of education. And it's there already to some extent. And some teachers are using this. It's really helping them. Now, we've known for a long time that if the teacher is similar to the pupil, that might be in terms of ethnicity, for instance, the pupil learns more effectively. So why not match the teacher to the pupil, if you know what I mean? And teachers could use this then and have the AI system to teach the pupils initially and then talk to the pupils afterwards. And another one I've seen is you can use fictional characters to motivate the student. So for example, Elsa from Frozen, which is Owen's favourite cartoon. He's sitting beside me here. Get Elsa to teach about snow and ice. How about that? Now, that might get the pupil to learn about that more effectively. They're talking about recreating historical events, you know, on the screen, and then the real people who took part explaining it as it unfolds. Would that be the 1916 uprising? And a virtual Padraig Pearse will tell you all about it as it happens before your eyes. So all this is seen as being a big advance for education, and teachers can use this more and more to enhance the education experience and to increase the capacity of the pupils to learn, I suppose. Now, next one, AI phone calls. I love this. I've got to get my hands on this. It's called Pine, P-I-N-E. This will make phone calls for you. So for example, it'll call up your bank and give out that your statement is wrong. It'll book a restaurant for you. It'll book your flights for you. And then it'll send you a report with the recording. Pine. I haven't tried it yet, but it's available now. This software called Pine will take the pain out of those awful phone calls when you're kept on hold for 10 minutes with some stupid music playing. So Pine will make phone calls for you. Can you imagine? We're entering a world where one AI bot, who'll be you, will phone up an AI bot in the Bank of Ireland, have a conversation, and then come back to you with a result. So wouldn't that be wonderful? Now, next, slightly more seriously, is disinformation. Big studies have shown if an AI bot system tries to persuade someone to change their minds, it's much more effective than a human being. One study, 2,190 people, they used ChatGPT-4 chatbot. 25% of those people were convinced by the chatbot to change their minds. Now, why would that be? Well, it doesn't shout. It's not emotional. It's using precise counter-arguments, which can be very effective instead of a human being who's trying to half remember the arguments, I guess. Another amazing study showed 300 people were tested. They used a bot to try and convince them versus a human on a topic. They used topics like, should abortion be legal? Should students wear school uniforms? I wonder would this have helped the short controversy. Anyway, guess what happened? The chatbot outperformed the human by 64%. It was 64% more effective than humans at convincing someone to change their minds. Now, this is remarkable if this continues, because you can imagine now. Now, of course, eventually we might distrust it. But can you imagine if we're trying to have an argument and a chatbot is the place where you activate the chatbot to try and convince the other person? And if one in four people are having their minds changed by that chatbot, which can't be achieved by a human, that could have a big knock-on effect. And there's all kinds of people looking at the consequences of this and what it might mean. So it just shows you how using this approach. And I say the reason it seems to work is you're taking the emotion out of the argument and you're taking the human element out in a way. Because obviously if you're sort of, if someone's haranguing you, trying to convince you of something, you might get your back off and you're less likely to be receptive to the information that's being presented. And then the other powerful part is, which this study showed, if you tell the chatbot the ethnicity of the person, their politics, if you feed in information on the person that you're trying to convince, it works more, even more effectively. So it just shows you that where the future of this might be. Now, the last one I want to tell you about is slightly more humorous, but also a little bit sad, maybe. The virtual girlfriend or boyfriend. This has been the trope of many a Hollywood movie, of course. Science fiction movie, you walk home and there's a man or woman there who are not virtual, they're robots basically, who look after you and you have conversations with them. Now, this has been around anyway, but there are two, I haven't tried them myself for obvious reasons, I don't need a boyfriend or girlfriend. In China, one is called Wow, W-O-W, the other is called Catbox, look them up, they're really interesting, I've looked at them. And these are a virtual partner. Now, what this means is you come home from work, you turn on the Wow system, and you have a conversation about the news, what you did that day. You might play a game. You might ask for advice. It is a virtual friend. Now, as I say, this had been there a little bit, but the reason why it's impressing people is the machine learning part of this, the algorithms that are being used, these can now mimic human emotion and empathy. In other words, they're getting much more empathic and human-like. Now, this is a terrifying list in some ways. And one Chinese man, who's used Wow, that one in particular, I think, said, look, it's cheaper, right, than having an actual girlfriend. And secondly, it's like being in a long-distance relationship. Now, it is kind of. People in long-distance relationships would phone up their partner in the good old days and have a chat to them and all that kind of thing. This is fulfilling that purpose in a way. And the Chinese study has shown it's decreasing loneliness. And this paradox of all the social media business is loneliness. The average Chinese young person I saw in this study only spends 18 minutes per day socializing with other people. Isn't that a shocking development in some ways? And so they get lonely. This idea of the virtual friend should decrease loneliness, and that should be very useful to us. And it won't just be young people with virtual boyfriends and girlfriends, older people. What a great addition this would be. And you may have seen these pets, like sea-like creatures that can now speak to you and have conversations with you. And that should help, shouldn't it, decrease this epidemic of loneliness that's out there, not just with young people, but with old people as well. Now, again, it's a bit science fiction-y. I'd love to see this in action. But still, wouldn't that be a nice thing to develop? Now, the Chinese government, of course, are very worried about this. There's a birth rate crisis in China. Remember, people may remember the one-child policy. There were too many people in China. Well, the birth rate's now plummeted. So if people are less incentivized to go out into the real world and try to meet a partner to have children, that will make this birth rate crisis even worse. Now, the question is, can you stop this? You can't. Who knows where this will go next? But certainly that idea of the virtual partner is now becoming more and more of a reality through the power of AI. The add-on here is the emotional empathic bit that's programmed into this that makes it feel like it's a real human being that you're encountering. And that will get better and better. Now, these examples I'm giving you, I've just come across them in the last couple of weeks. It was triggered by a big piece on the Agatha Christie example, but I found these other ones. And I'll keep looking because we're going to see more and more of this. The rate at which AI will come at us is going to speed up. More and more applications will happen. It'll be a bit like we look back on this time and wonder how we survive without it. A bit like we look back on times when there was no email, which I'm old enough to remember, and there was no smartphones. It seems remarkable now that there was a time without those things. I think what's going to happen here is lots of us will be using these things, and it's very hard to predict where it's going to go. Because governments are looking at it, regulators, all kinds of issues come up. But get ready, because the AI deluge will continue, and hopefully the malign uses for this, which are there, of course, will be superseded by the benefits that these bring. And all the examples I've given you, I think, are highly beneficial for us as a species. So hopefully it will enhance us and improve our lives overall. So there you have it, the remarkable nature of AI and what's coming down the track towards us. And thanks, as ever, for listening. And my podcast is a News Talk production, available for download anywhere you get your podcasts. All the best.